accident.
Okay, that's okay.
Should be reported.
It is. Thank you. There's an author who I'm meeting with every week, and I use this every Friday, and it's not working. Okay, so without further ado, please help me.
No. How it works.
We read it. We're all set. Okay, so without further ado, please help me in welcoming from Santa Barbara, Lowell Gardner to share his experience, strength, and hope.
Yay, Gardner.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my soul always be acceptable to thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's the benediction of Moses, and was used in many of our meetings when we read from the Bible before we had the big book. We also read from the Psalms and from Corinthians in the New Testament. My name is Gardner, and I'm an alcoholic. In this program, there are very few musts. But the work on the steps is a must, because our spiritual experience comes from our work with the steps. And among the most important, I don't know that they're all important, but the 12th step requires one thing from us, that we really want to bring this message, not our message, but the AA message to other people. And believe me when I say that is my motivation for being here tonight. Many of you have long sobriety and have heard the message before. The basic idea of speaker meetings when they were begun was essentially to inform new people. So some things I will say tonight will be obvious to some of you. When I came into AA, we were a struggling group of people who met as an alcoholic squad of the Oxford group. And we met afterwards in long tables, family-style tables, in old-fashioned cafeterias. And they were the kind of cafeterias that were not like automats, but they were steam table cafeterias. So you could order a coffee and spend the whole night there and no one bothered you. We came there after the meetings of the Oxford group. Then we went to Bill's father-in-law's house. Bill's father-in-law was a physician and had a fairly substantial house in Brooklyn Heights. And Bill and Lois lived there. At first, we didn't have organized meetings like these. Just one alcoholic talking to another. We would go and visit with Bill. And we would visit with, I understand, in Akron, with Dr. Bob. Our first meetings, and this is not in the histories of AA, were called Wednesday night meetings. I was explaining to someone before the meeting. People often ask, why Wednesday night if you're going to have one meeting a week? Well, in New York City, it gets very hot and humid in the summer, and poor people go to places like Jones Beach, a state park. Wealthier people go to the Hamptons and fancier places further out on the island of Long Island. Brooklyn is located on the island of Long Island. So, that was why they were called Wednesday night meetings that were held on Wednesday night. Gradually, as we got larger, we had more formal meetings, and we had more than one meeting. For many years, we had a meeting at Roosevelt Hospital, another at our own club, an Alano club in the 20s, and at Calvary Church. All of these were designed to help people who were struggling with alcoholism. This was the time of the Great Depression, and many people turned to alcohol as a solution who had not previously been alcoholics of our type. So there was a great deal of difficulty that people had in trying to stop drinking. We were desperate. Some people even today say they wish that people could be more desperate when they come in. There are many things that have saved me in this program, saved my life. And I would say that first and foremost with our big book. It was terribly difficult to write. Everybody had their own ideas on how they got sober. People stood on tables like this one that weren't too strong in the 24th Street house and fought up for their particular ideas. There was a man who favored moderation. However, he came in once so drunk that he and those who favored moderation no longer raised their voices. For true alcoholics, moderation is not possible. It tells us that in the reading we have from the third chapter, I should say. That would be nice, and many people would have preferred it to abstinence, believe me. The only value of history is it can teach us how to not make mistakes. The traditions, for example, that we heard read today, are not a historical document. They are not like the steps. The steps are found in every organized religion in one form or another. They must be of some value. 700 national organizations use the 12 steps. I can't even think of that many diseases or troubles people could have. We all know some of them. Narcotics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, 5 different sex programs with various names like Sex and Love Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Debtors Anonymous, what used to be called by another name, but it's now called Bipolar Anonymous. Countless. Pilanon, which is for people who take prescribed pills too much. And they also have friends. All of these people have friends. Al-Anon is for friends of and relatives of alcoholics. Owenon, for example, is for friends and relatives of people in Overeaters Anonymous. Not all these groups exist, thank goodness. We'd never have a chance to get meeting spaces if we had to fit 700 groups, certainly not in a city the size of Santa Barbara or Lompoc. But a great many of them do. Here, for example, right in this club, I understand there's a very active groups for Narcotics Anonymous, which is our third oldest group. Al-Anon came next. It was Lois's desire that Al-Anon should always be very separate from AA, so that they did not get confused. Some people, of course, have both problems. They may have a parent or spouse or friend who is an alcoholic, and they may be an alcoholic. But the groups are separate. They have separate national treasuries, separate literature. And a separate purpose. What is our purpose? The book tells us our dilemma is a lack of power. Alcoholism is a symptom. The taking of alcohol is a symptom of this lack of power. That is why the third step tells us that we must be sure that all the steps taken before are firm. And the third step itself gives us a clue to how to conquer the lack of power. It is by the idea of a higher power. Some things were invented by Alcoholics Anonymous. No major religion uses that term. That is our term. We did not invent the term alcoholic or alcoholism, but it was not widely used before our book. Our organization is named for our book, not like most organizations. We had other suggested names, like 100 men, but we had already one woman we know of and one we did not know of. That wouldn't work. Then we thought of the way out. The Library of Congress, where you have to submit material when you want to get a copyright, informed us there already were 12 organizations. Now, it may seem a little superstitious, but it was felt that a 13th group was not very good. You know, some buildings, it's not just us, but some buildings don't have a 13th floor in large cities. No one wants to rent a 13th floor. They go from 12 to 14. If you look up at in many elevators, it tells you the step they're at, you'll see there's no 14th floor in many large office buildings in large cities that have buildings that tall. So we chose Alcoholics Anonymous. That was one of the few things people did not argue about, because they were keen on anonymity. Our membership has always been much keener on anonymity than our founders or our leaders. You will read in some of our literature that there is no anonymity within AA. And that is only partly true. You certainly would not want to discuss something someone says, as you heard. You certainly would not want to say someone who had a very delicate job, and you knew him in one meeting, necessarily in other meetings. Our members have always liked anonymity much more, as I say, than our leaders. You can see the difference if you read our only publication on the subject, Understanding Anonymity. That is a strict AA line. But the reality is, you can give up your own anonymity. But when you're walking down the street and you meet someone, a phrase like, "Hi, I'm going to see you at the meeting tonight," is not always the best idea if the person is with other people. Because they may not have given up their anonymity, or those people may not have known. So even within AA, it's good to be a little on the cautious side, in spite of what it says in the pamphlet. AA did not die in 1935 or 1938 after the 12 and 12 came out. We have good ideas today. some not so good. Some people will tell you we dilute things too much today. I go to a meeting which is almost entirely devoted to saying what AA does wrong now as opposed to what it does not. I go to that meeting because I love the people and I like it, but I don't agree. Some things are very good. The idea, for example, of a living amend is a really great idea, because if people are dead, or if they're unapproachable, or if we feel in our heart that just an apology or even a restitution, if it involves money or some or goods, and we feel in our heart we don't want to do it again, that is part of the idea of an amend. And it's expressed very well by living amends, a phrase you cannot find in the text of the Big Book. There are a lot of things that we do that are not found in the Big Book. We did have the word sponsor, but it meant nothing like what we use today when the Big Book was written. That's why the word does not appear in the text of the Big Book. We had sponsors for people who paid for a private room in a hospital. We always tried to have money enough for that, for a private room, because there were no semi-private rooms, or very few, in those days. You either had a large open ward, clearly not terribly appropriate for doing the fourth and fifth step, for example, or for general work on a person. We called it treatments and private rooms. We also had the word sponsor for a few meetings, now almost all gone, that are discussed in the 12 and 12 that had this many rules and were run on the basis of social clubs. I don't know if Lompoc still has a social club in that sense. A social club is usually a building where people can stay, have friends, or stay overnight and have meals together and things like that, a lot of luncheons. Santa Barbara still has at least one, actually one men and one woman that could qualify under that. And they're not the best, most democratic of institutions. For one thing, you have to go before a committee to join. For another thing, one person can blackball you. A name coming the fact they used to have balls, and one person could anonymously blackball you, can't get in no matter what you do. Fortunately, AA has very few of those meetings based on that principle. As you read in the 12 and 12, such meetings disappeared. There are one or two, I'm afraid, still existing. The reason I mention that is the person who puts you up for such a meeting was also called a sponsor. But we do not have in the text mention of the word sponsor. Now, some people considered that people who helped them a lot was a sponsor or a mentor, you know. I'm not going to say whether or not. Bill says he'd never sponsored. Richard Chamberlain, not Richard, his father, Reverend Chamberlain, always said he never sponsored. Some people say they were sponsors of Bill or sponsors of Mr. Chamberlain. They mean by that, I think, not they ever went up and asked them to be their sponsor, but that they helped them a lot and they worked with them a lot. And these both these men worked with a lot of people and helped people a lot. So I point out that so that you understand there are things in AA that were not done in 1935. But as I say, history is only good if it teaches us. We learned. AA learned from its mistakes. The traditions are not part of any organized religion. The traditions are the work of Bill Wilson. We had six steps extended to 12 by Bill. Some people will tell you because of the astrological signs. That is not correct. That is not correct. It is for the 12 disciples. But the traditions were totally unknown. They came from mistakes we made. If you read the 12 and 12, you see it. We had anonymity because we had a famous ball player and a famous singer, both of whom turned out to not be very successful in our program. They went out. People said, if they couldn't do it, how could we do it? From that, we get the tradition on anonymity. People wanted to build several-story buildings and actually got the money in one city for a several-story building to have AA on one floor, gymnasium on another, and educational classes and lots of fundraising and all that sort of thing. That failed even before it was completed. From that, we get the idea that we should not be liked with not work well if we try to do anything else. It is important to understand that in our lives, and that's the important thing in my life, I like the idea that we have one focus, one priority, our sobriety. But by our sobriety, I don't mean just not drinking. We never heard the term emotional sobriety in those years, but that's a good term that's used now. It means that if we're not happy, joyous, and free, why bother to get drunk? If we want to be fettered, unhappy, and joyless, we may as well drink. Oh yes, we may as well drink. I once saw my sponsor, a very distinguished man, the author of a famous book for alcoholics, and the founder of several kinds of large meetings in the East, lying in a gutter, in the pouring rain, out of it. Truly, being a drunk is not always a pretty thing. And people walk by. In New York, people don't like to get involved with people they don't know. You may never get to that state, but we have many people who have gone out, and I only know of one once who said it was better. I want to be honest with you, I did know of one once who said it was better. And I've gone to endless meetings over the years and met endless alcoholics. It's a progressive disease. And we get worse. If we go out and come back, it's not easy to come back. Not because you have to stand. You don't really have to stand. You can go to a meeting that you've never gone before, and no one is going to know. But because alcoholism is a progressive disease. Everyone will tell you that. And what are the causes of going out? The causes of going out are many, but two, you'll hear from people who've done it, they don't go to meetings. That's one cause. And another, they never bother to do the steps. Doing the steps makes you really part of AA, especially the 12th step. But also the first. Some people say the first is the most important step in AA. It is the only one that we're taught has to be done fully. If we don't recognize we're alcoholics, if we don't recognize that we're different, that we are different from other people in regard to drinking, it's not likely we will bother to do the other steps very thoroughly or at all. That's not pleasant. No one likes to be different from other people. But that is the experience of my own experience and the experience of AA. The pursuit of power. If lack of power is our dilemma, we must pursue it. How do we pursue it? In this, nothing has ever changed. We pursue it through the third step. I'm a very simple-minded person and don't like complicated things. I simply say to myself that I'm turning it over to my higher power. I'm not ashamed to say that. Other people have more complex and different ways of handling, of getting a particular thing to be the province of their higher power. And the power comes to us. Oh, it comes to us. All of the promises have come true in my life. I lost a few through my own ignorance and laziness, but essentially they've all come true. My life was indeed saved by our program and our book. Most of us think too much about ourselves and our problems. Selfishness and self-centeredness are among the roots of why we turn to alcohol. One of the best ways that you can possibly do when your sponsor feels you're ready for it is to sponsor other people. Of course, you can help other people long before that, by talking to them, by being interested in them, by giving them rides to meetings, by giving them coffee. No one has to have particular time for that. But when your sponsor feels you're ready, don't hesitate to sponsor. You are not responsible for the person's sobriety. That's hard to believe, and I can't say that I always feel it if I lose a sponsee. I wish I were that hard-hearted, but I'm not. But I know that only the person and their higher power can possibly keep them sober, not me. All I try to do with sponsoring is read the book with the person. I don't tell them, go off and read 170 pages. I'm not condemning any other person's way of doing it. I'm just saying I sponsor the way I sponsor. And I don't do group sponsorship. I mean, I don't have them around a table. I like a one-to-one the way I was sponsored. And that is what I feel comfortable in doing. Because when you think, and you have other people on your mind, and it's not just a matter of seeing them once in a while and go over the steps and reading. I don't like to give advice, and I only give advice if I've had this experience myself. I sometimes go to my sponsor. I've only had one sponsor. And I did not fire him when he went out. Some people fire their sponsor when they go out. They don't want to be fired when they go out, but they feel they don't want a sponsor who drinks. No. I did not do so. My sponsor has helped, as I say, hundreds of people through his great book and even more through the meetings he started. And I had no intention of turning my back on him. It's a privilege to know him. It is a privilege to know him. The book was written by people who went through suffering such as you've gone through. The book was written by people who are just as little and selfish and self-centered as I am, some of you are. The steps are numbered for a reason. They build on each other. How can you possibly take the message to others in 12 if you've just done two or three steps and you have no idea what the other steps are about? Some people jump around. I'm not condemning any people's methods. That usually doesn't work. Those people usually go out. No one way to do this program, but there are certain basic things that have worked for a lot of people. If you have a sponsor and they don't have time for you, or they seem more of a director than a person who is a helping hand and guide, you can always fire them. That's what it's called, even though you don't pay them. It's called firing them. And they can fire you. I hope not, because you call them five after five when they told you to call it five. We have some sponsors since the so-called golden age of sponsorship, which was a while back, but we still have some around who are big book pushers and who are AA Nazis. Those are the terms that are used. They have never heard that it's a suggestive program, which does not mean the suggestions are not very, very important if you want to be alive and you don't want to be in a sanitarium or jail or die of a very unpleasant form of death called cirrhosis of the liver. Cirrhosis of the liver, for example, does not know if you deem yourself a social drinker because you only drink at maybe three martinis at lunch, you have wine and followed by brandy at dinner, and maybe you have one before bed. The liver is not aware of the fact that that is considered acceptable social drinking in our society, which it is. And it's fine for a non-alcoholic, maybe. But it's that much, I'm not sure, is fine for anyone. But people do it. We all know people do it. Why do we have so many celebrities and wealthy people in our program? And have always from the beginning, even during the Depression. Because they often engage in these practices of having five or six drinks a day. Though they only socially drink, of course. But they eventually come to us. They have a void, they say. There's something empty in their lives. Yes, there is. Even if you just put a dime into our plate, you are helping our movement. Even if you just talk to a person sometimes and give them coffee, you are helping. It says that in the 12 and 12. I'm not giving you original opinions. I stick pretty straight with the literature in most cases. I try to. It tells us that in the 12 and 12. That 12-step work just does not include fancy sponsoring. It can include making people feel welcome. No one should come to our meeting and have nobody say a few words to them. Even if we go to a large meeting that has an official greeter, it never hurts for another human being to talk to them. Some sponsors recommend to their sponsees that they talk to three people at every meeting they go to. That may be excessive. Many of us are shy. And what do you say to people? You can say to people what you would say if you met someone who was coming to you for business or someone you were planning to date. You can ask a few simple questions, or better still, say yours. The basic idea of our kind of teaching was described in the past as a cult. That is a word I don't like to use much because it's gotten a very bad reputation, confused with Satanism, etc. But what it means is clouded and taught by one person to another, and that is the way we teach. The way we teach is by our experience, by saying what works for us, not by lecturing people, and above all, not by criticizing them to their death, especially if they're new. That is not my opinion. That is contained in the chapter Working with Others. We never criticize. Some people say that this is not a very good program, that it's too much based upon Protestantism, white Protestantism of the 19th century, and early 20th century, I should say, the 1900s. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. This program is not based upon the white Protestantism of the early 19th century. No. Both Bill and Bob were enormous readers, and especially Bill. Their library, the non-medical library of Dr. Bob, was not very large, but it was large. But Bill had an enormous number of books. One young man named Tom Jackson has gone to the trouble of taking down all those titles and is reading all those books. And I told him, Bill once told me that he got nowhere with the Principia Mathematica and couldn't finish it. Bill had not read all those books, but he did read many. And many of the ideas in our program come from all the world's religion. In fact, it says in our literature that the purpose of our big book was to give us the essence of all the world's religions. For example, nothing in Protestantism says you can't take someone else's inventory. Oh, no. No. That comes from Islam, a religion not in well-proved today by many, but not from fanatic Islam, but it comes from the Quran and from the teaching of Muhammad, that you only take your own inventory. And that is an idea that AA fully endorses. The idea of forgiveness comes from Christianity, but not particularly from Protestant Christianity. Long before Protestants and Catholics separated, they believed in the New Testament, which teaches forgiveness of ourselves as well as others. And alcoholics often have a hard time forgiving themselves. Some people now, I never heard of this till about 25 years, maybe 35 years ago. I've lived a long time. 35 years ago, not only put themselves in the amends list, but put them at the top of the amends list. That would have been an idea that I don't think would have got great endorsement. But if it helps people, and they say people are sicker now than they ever were, that our society is more full of stress than I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure of that. People get just as excited about people doing too much on their porch if they were young then as they could get excited about social disease and other problems today. People haven't changed that much. So what I'm trying to say to you, and of course, meditation, there was much objection to including meditation, much objection. It was thought to be too Eastern. Actually, every Catholic priest is taught meditation. All Orthodox and conservative Jewish rabbis are taught it, and Reform rabbis a little bit. Many Protestants, Episcopalian rectors who go through a substantial graduate work after they graduate from college, are taught meditation. It is not unknown in the West. It is just that in some groups it was felt that it was better to be done by clergymen for your benefit and mine. But in AA, it does not say prayer or meditation. It says prayer and meditation. And you know, young people are often startled to find something about meditation. Our meditation is not open-ended like Zen meditation, for example. We meditate with the idea that we want to be close to our higher power. It makes that very clear in the book, that we meditate and pray to be with our higher power and to please our higher power and about our higher power. So it's not open-ended. Nevertheless, many people have found that it has many other benefits, like lowering blood pressure, for example. That's been scientifically shown. Long before Maharishi or other people brought it for the benefit of the hippie age, AAs did meditate and do meditate. The power of 11-step meetings where they do even a 5-minute meditation. Many of them do 20 minutes. You do it together and it's really great. And you feel at peace. Which doesn't mean that you can't also meditate. There's no right and wrong in meditation or how to do it. Some people can meditate as they do sports, running, golf, particularly are known for people who meditate as they do those sports. Each one of our steps is grounded in reality. We don't ask you to believe anything. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. A desire to stop drinking. And if some of you are still troubled by the God concept, remember it's a God of your understanding. It can be, at first at least, it tells us it's all right at first at least, if we just take our groups, they know more about alcoholism than we do, at first. Usually we develop a deeper understanding of our higher power than that, usually. However, We don't exclude atheists and agnostics from our meetings. And we, and in larger cities, there are even meetings for them. But most do develop some faith in a higher power. That is so helpful. That is what gives us the power. Finally, what I would share with you, the idea that AA has the most wonderful people, recovered alcoholics, that you will ever meet. There are many other wonderful groups of people, some Quakers, some Mennonites, who are so devoted to people that they wash their feet, an old Christian custom. There are many good people in many places, but nowhere, and people who are non-alcoholics notice this, but nowhere do you find people like the people who are recovered alcoholics, the people in our meetings. Something holds them together. No one thought it could. You know, we're the only major organization on earth that has no method of throwing you out. No way to get you to leave. Oh, sure, an individual meeting can ask someone who's disturbing it, or hiss someone, or is usually give them a warning if it's just talk. But no one can get you out of AA. There is no procedure in our program for getting you out of AA. That is very important to me. I often went to parties while I was drinking, and they told me afterwards, maybe you're not right for this kind of party. The basic idea was they didn't ask me to come back. We ask everyone to come back, even if we're throwing out someone. I've seen it done at meetings where they threw out a person who was really disturbing to the meeting, that particular meeting, and people said, come back. Keep coming back. We are a wonderful group of people. My God, in many places they get up at 6:15 or 6:15 or 7:30 in the morning. What other group? There are many wonderful organizations, but you would not get board members of an art museum or members of a union to want to get together at such an hour on a regular daily basis. We are trying, at least, and there is a wonderful camaraderie. Of course, if you go to business meetings, alcoholics are not always at their best in business meetings. In our regular meetings, people realize it's a spiritual place, we pray, and people know that in most places, crosstalk is not encouraged. A few places do allow crosstalk, but it's supposed to be loving. In the state of Indiana, there are a large number of such meetings. There's 5 or 6 meetings in Los Angeles called Architects of Adversity, which are crosstalk meetings. I once spoke at one of those, and nobody told me it was going to be a crosstalk meeting. It wasn't all loving. But in general, in AA, we don't have crosstalk. Some people recommend that to the newcomers they go to business meetings. I don't. I think it's good to have a lot of AA behind you before you do that kind of service, or IGR, so forth. That's not AA. That's me talking from my experience, strength, and hope. They're great, and people have to do them. And some people like argument, and some people like strong discussion. But it's not a good idea for a newcomer. Better, though, than those who call upon us for a group conscience in the middle of a meeting. Fortunately, that's dying out. Most group consciences are now asked for in business meetings because that ruins the whole atmosphere as people get excited upon their point of view. When there are two points of view, people will get excited. But aside from judging us by our business meetings, which is not the best way to judge us, this is the group that have some of the kindest, most forgiving, most Christian in the biggest sense of Christian that you will ever find anywhere. That's my experience. Thank you very much for your courtesy and listening to me.
Who has the 12?
the 12 traditions.
Never mind. I'd like to thank Gardner for coming and sharing with us and giving another round of applause. I'd like to thank all of you for coming to this inaugural meeting, and I hope you'll come back next week to hear Bill and Tammy again. They're incredible. And with that, again, we will have, and actually I'm willing to be the secretary. I'd rather be a co-secretary because I'm still living in San